Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 313 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, I'm diving into testing for candida and specifically which tests are the best and the worst at detecting candida overgrowth. To kick things off, let's start with a quick rundown of fungal overgrowth and how you may arrive at the conclusion that candida overgrowth is the culprit behind your rashes. Now, if you recall, candida overgrowth can cause eczema-like skin rashes, typically with a very clearly defined border. It also can cause distinct increase in itchiness at night and other symptoms like vaginal yeast infections, thrush, and intense cravings for sugar. Now, candida can show up in various areas of your body that are more likely to be moist and or dark in places where fungus likes to grow. And in my practice, candida overgrowth can be a factor in many different chronic skin problems, including eczema, psoriasis, rosacea, chronic hives, dermatographia, tinea versicolor, and dandruff. Now, some of the common fungal overgrowth hotspots can include rashes in or on your armpits, the back of your neck, under the breasts, the back of your knees, or the inside of your elbows. For those with diagnosed psoriasis, it has been linked to increased levels of candida, and some research indicates treatments for psoriasis may actually further increase the risk of a candida infection or overgrowth. And it might also play a role in inverse psoriasis as well. Seborrheic dermatitis has connections to internal fungal overgrowth in addition to issues with the skin microbiome with immune reactivity to Malassezia. It's important to point out that you may have an actual fungal skin infection, but none of the other symptoms and signs of candida overgrowth. So now that we've reviewed what might make you suspect that candida is the culprit behind your rashes, let's look at different options when it comes to testing for candida. And for a deeper dive into the causes of candida overgrowth, I'll link that up in the show notes so it's easy for you to find. So, is there a test for candida that will definitively prove candida overgrowth is the reason you're itchy and breaking out in a rash? Well, let's look at two of the most common test options. First, there's a test called the urinary organic acids test. This type of at-home test looks at very specific waste products produced from different organisms in the gut microbiome. And most commonly, these tests look for arabinose or D-arabinitol. Both markers on the test are considered to be waste products produced by Candida albicans. So if arabinose or D-arabinitol is present in your urine, then you would suspect the presence of candida overgrowth. Unfortunately, arabinose and D-arabinitol are not always reliable markers for the presence of yeast because it isn't a universal waste product for all forms of yeast and fungal organisms. So it's possible to miss or underestimate fungal overgrowth if you're solely basing your conclusion on the results from an organic acid test. Now, while there are dietary sources of arabinose, I generally haven't seen it impact the results of the test in my clinical experience. The other problem with urinary organic acid tests is the fact that there are many other types of fungal organisms in addition to Candida albicans that produce arabinose, as well as different waste products in your body. It's also worth noting that a urinary organic acid test is not the same as a mycotoxin test and cannot replace the information gathered through mycotoxin testing. So they are not interchangeable, and this is a point that I have verified with labs that offer urinary mycotoxin testing. So yes, the test can look clear and may not actually be accurate since there's so much more that the test can't pick up, and this often results in false negatives. Now, ultimately, I believe that while an organic acid test could be helpful in terms of getting some information about fungal overgrowth, it's definitely not foolproof. The results always need to be combined with a detailed case history and even other testing to help your practitioner offer a clearer answer. Next, we'll talk about stool testing, specifically PCR stool tests. The two most common clinical stool tests include the GIFX and the GI Map. Now, these tests allow you to conduct the stool test in the comfort and privacy of your own home, and it's important to be aware that they are distinctly different from other stool tests that are commonly advertised or marketed to you online. So basically, if you're being sent a coupon code to get a discount off of stool testing, it's likely not a clinical PCR test and not worth the investment. Now, if you want to learn the difference between the different types of stool testing that exists and which are the better ones to invest in, I've got a detailed stool testing guide that I'll link up in the show notes for you. And it's also crucial to know that these stool tests are large intestine tests. And this is a significant point because Candida is a commensal organism that normally lives up in the small intestine. So when it overgrows, it can cause something called small intestine fungal overgrowth, also known as SIFO. So in order for Candida to be picked up on a stool test, it has to really overgrow in the small intestine first before moving far enough down into your colon for it to get picked up on a stool test. As a result, PCR stool tests can totally miss Candida and other fungal species, providing false negatives. So having no fungal organisms show up does not mean there's not a problem. Also, having even some fungus show up within the normal range on the testing can be viewed as a sign of that small intestine overgrowth, especially when you consider other case details and your case history. So yes, a PCR stool test could be helpful, but a negative result should be heavily scrutinized, especially if you struggle with topical fungal skin overgrowth like Tinea versicolor, confirmed fungal skin infections, vaginal yeast infections, or have had thrush. And beyond these two types of testing, there are other tests for Candida overgrowth and reactivity. The anti-Saccharomyces cerevisiae antibody test can be very helpful for those dealing with inflammatory bowel disease, as well as with something called hidradenitis suppurativa. Given that IBD is a comorbidity of psoriasis, it could also be helpful in certain psoriasis cases. Now, there may also be a functional use of the uric acid blood marker when elevated to suggest a potential fungal gut issue lurking under the surface, specifically in the absence of gout symptoms or a gout diagnosis. And this is because certain organisms like Saccharomyces cerevisiae produce purines, which can thus increase uric acid. Now, fungal overgrowth or infections on the skin can be identified by a skin culture or a faster type of skin scraping test called a KOH preparation. I discussed how this easy in-office test is run with Dr. Peter Leo, which again, I'll link that up in the show notes. Now, there are also microscopic exams of stool samples that sometimes can yield better results than a PCR stool test, but again, they aren't perfect and can give false negative results. And lastly, there are also antibody blood markers for different Candida species responsible for candidiasis infections, which your doctor could run if it's warranted given your case. So what is the best Candida test? The reality is that the two most common types of testing, PCR stool testing and urinary organic acid testing, can show false negatives and often do. And that's why when I'm asked what the best Candida test is, my honest answer is that there isn't one. All testing for Candida and fungal organisms has drawbacks. That's why extensive case details, including what medications you've taken in the past and your unique case history, can be extremely helpful in determining if Candida overgrowth is present and if that's what's at the root of your rashes, or at least one of the factors at play. also, since testing isn't perfect, you can and should use other diagnoses and clues to help you figure out if candida overgrowth is present. So, for example, if you have recurrent yeast infections, especially every time you take an antibiotic, or you're struggling with thrush or fungal skin infections or tinea versicolor, testing may not necessarily yield information that will make a difference in how to address what's going on unless there's a serious infection going on. So essentially, you could assume fungal overgrowth is a factor if you have any of these issues. And remember, overgrowth is vastly different from an infection, which, by the way, should be evaluated by a physician and may require treatment. One final word on candida testing. Maybe you've heard of the famous candida spit test that you can supposedly do at home for free. The idea is that you take a glass of water, spit into it, and then observe how the spit changes over time. According to anecdotal stories, your spit will either grow legs or produce cloudiness in the glass of water, depending on whether you have candida overgrowth or not. Now, before you give any power to these results, you should know that there is absolutely no scientific evidence to back up the spit test for candida. So for this reason, the candida spit test gets my vote for the worst possible candida test. Addressing candida overgrowth can be tricky, and many of the suggestions you'll see, especially online, like the candida diet or a sugar-free diet, either don't work or they can make your skin rashes worse. And the reason is that yeast, and also I would include in this fungal organisms in general, are extremely hardy. They're survivors that can outlast your attempts to starve them through diet and even can evade antifungal medications and herbal supplements because they can hide behind something called biofilms for protection. So while it's tempting to try methods to starve the yeast, it can actually drive food fear, increase food reactivity, worsen nutrient deficiencies, and make phase two liver detox challenges even worse. That's why it's crucial to get to the bottom of what's actually driving the problem, because honestly, candida overgrowth is the result of something larger. So it could be viewed more as a symptom and not the only problem going on. My clinical experience as a nutritionist working with thousands of skin rash warriors has shown me that there are usually 3 to 6 factors that drive your rashes, candida overgrowth being just one of those factors. Once you understand what those root causes are, it makes addressing the underlying problem so much easier, especially if you are currently taking biologic drugs, JAK inhibitors, or immunosuppressants. If you're interested in getting more testing done, I've put together a simple guide that's free called the Skin Rash Root Cause Testing Guide, and I will link to that in the show notes. It will help walk you through which tests could be helpful and how you can get them ordered. I hope my clinical perspective offers clarity about the pros and cons of testing for candida and other factors you need to know so you don't end up missing clues based on false negatives. If you've got any questions or thoughts to share about this, or you want to see the resources I put together for you, head on over to skinterrupt.com/313 so we can keep the conversation going. Then share this episode with someone you know who's struggling with rashes and you really think that getting some sort of testing could help them determine if there is a connection to candida. And then before you head off for your day, make sure to rate and review the Healthy Skin Show. Hit that subscribe button so you can tune in each week for new research, clinical strategies, personal stories, and the inspiration you need on your journey to rebuilding healthy skin. And then let's connect. I'm at Jennifer Fugo. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I look forward to diving deeper with you in the next episode.